What's up, Podcast Land? This episode is brought to you by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable? By having your podcast transcribed by Podcast Texts, you can increase your product's reach exponentially. Reach the deaf and hearing impaired, or the people who actually like to read interviews, like me. You can include links or videos for said users. Visit podcasttext.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today. And it's really cool to see your podcasts in text form. Here's Behind the Barricade Podcast. Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade Podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to the Behind the Barricade Podcast. My name is John O'Connor, and I'm here with Daniel Tao. We've reached episode 20 of the podcast. How do we do it? Well, one episode at a time, of course. Duh. Today, we had Jake Salazar, lead singer of Long Island's alternative and pop-punk band Approaching Troy. We talk about a ton of subjects, including touring, recording their new EP, Best Intentions, out in this August, being Italian, and a whole lot more. It's strange, but we had fun with it. We want to personally thank Jake and his manager, Lawrence, for traveling over an hour from Long Island to do this podcast in person, which was absolutely unnecessary since we do have Skype. And Skype is awesome. But we appreciate him coming all the way out here. Real quick, we're finally up on iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere else podcasts are. Head there and subscribe. Maybe show us a comment saying who you'd like us to interview. Maybe Breaking Benjamin like Dan. Maybe Rolling Stones. Maybe Paris. I don't know. I'm spitballing bands here. Could be any of them. Could be all of them. I don't care. We just want to interview. But this is how it works. The better the ratings that you give us, either 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, whatever, the better the ratings, the better the guests. Because what guest wants to come on a show that's 1-star on iTunes? I'll tell you, nobody. Not even local bands that need the publicity. They ain't coming on. No, they're not. Just saying. So 5-star, 4-star, be honest, whatever. Also, leave us a comment. The more the comments come, the higher the rankings on iTunes. I still don't understand how that works, but it works. That's how it goes. So let's get going, people. If you don't have a smartphone for whatever reason, you can also hear us on behindthebarricadepodcast.podbean.com, podbean.com, or on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/behindthebarricade. We also love talking to people on social media. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade. Twitter is at behindthecade, C-A-D-E. Instagram, instagram.com/behindthebarricade. And I believe that's it for now. But anyways, without further ado, here is episode number 20XX with Jake Salazar of Approaching Troy. Hit it! Going on?
How are you?
Doing all right.
It's good.
Great interview. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Yes. Get the fuck out of here.
We're recording.
Yes, yes, we are recording. Yes.
Hello. Oh, we're live.
We're doing it live.
Not really live.
No, we're gonna pre-record all this.
Very.
Nobody knows.
Cool.
So you're the lead singer of Approaching Troy.
I am. That's what I'm told.
That's what you're told, or that's what you are?
That's what this guy tells me right here.
And he's talking about Lawrence, who's the manager. Say hi.
Hey, I'm Lawrence. How are you?
He's got a radio voice.
He does.
He does.
I know.
Look at you, Lawrence. This guy over here. All right.
Yeah, just keep holding it. Good.
I'm just sit here and hold it. This is what I do on stage anyway. I just kind of
act as his interpreter.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm the mic stand.
You have more experience with a microphone, something in your hand than me.
Yeah.
Whoa, what do you mean by something, Lawrence?
This interview is not starting off on the correct foot, I should say.
Yes. Well, we're also here with Tori Lava. What's going on, Tori?
Hi, everyone. It's all good.
Is it?
It's okay. All good today. I'm in a good mood today.
Nice.
Your shirt matches your last name. Just saying. The Lava.
The Lava, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I was supposed to say, Platt doesn't rhyme with lava.
No, but definitely not.
Lava's actually my last name.
I know.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It's a total joke. It's my alter ego. It's my radio voice.
I thought he was going to bring up something about being a lumberjack, but he totally didn't.
I look like a lumberjack today?
No, you don't, but the shirt does.
This is my favorite flannel, first off.
See, a flannel, instantly, lumberjack.
Yeah, especially the red flannel. But, yeah, it's all good today. I'm having a good day, pretty much, so... Hey Jake, how's it going? Welcome to our little podcast.
Yes, hi.
Yes, you actually came all the way from Long Island.
I did.
All the way.
Holy shit. We did, yeah. I came all the way from Long Island. He came from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Nice to come up.
Brooklyn in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Where in Long Island?
I'm from Wantagh specifically.
All right, so by Jones Beach Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you frequent that venue a lot?
I don't actually.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I've only been there once.
A lot of my time in. Stuff that goes more to the band, so it's like I'd rather like one day be playing there than like visit and watch.
Yeah, ooh. That's true.
So
honestly, I have to say it's one of the nicest venues, I guess, due to the surrounding area and the fact that it's like on the ocean.
I just think
that's crazy.
Yeah,
really, I've never been there.
Yeah, it's yet. Just imagine PNC, but mm-hmm. the stage being over the ocean.
Okay, that's
like just
cool.
like the beginning
yeah.
of though. It's not like in the middle of the. Yeah, it's
I've
a pier
actually,
basically.
I've actually seen the like multiple artists like. After they're set, they just like finish the last note of the song and then just jump right in the water.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Jacoby from Papa Roach is famous for doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the
yeah,
same thing is. With Randy Blythe of Lamb of God.
Nice.
I think, a day to remember, I think Jeremy does that as well. I could be wrong.
Did they ever take that ball over the ocean?
Yeah.
Oh, they really should.
That would be sick.
That would be really cool.
That's actually really hard, I would assume.
Have you ever been in one of those balls before? The giant. Hamster balls?
Oh, no, I haven't. It looks cool though.
It does look really cool.
Bubble
though.
Boy.
It seems like you get hot very quick.
Yeah, it's definitely. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Because obviously, if you take it on water, you can't have holes poked in it.
No, you're done. I would not take that on water. Actually,
yeah.
I feel
imagine
like if there's
it,
any hole,
it did,
at all,
like it got poked and you're drowning.
You're
how
stuck
would you
in
get
that
out?
Ball.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't get out.
Imagine if like a wave takes you out even deeper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Security
swimming after.
I know. I think at that point, if anyone jumps in the water, they're on their own. Like security's not. They're not lifeguards. They're just security guards.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
They're like fuck
every
this
man
guy.
For themselves.
Yeah.
If it was at our concert, I'd go out and save them though.
That's
just saying.
That's so sweet. Then.
Aw.
So what kind of music do you guys play? How would you describe it? You play metal?
No, we don't play metal. No. That's like one, I guess, influence of my own that like is not really. Brought into it. I mean, we kind of are like a big mix between like pop punk and then you add like the heavier hardcore feel to it. Like mm-hmm. we're really very in between it. You can go from like a song that would be like on a Day to Remember album to like, and I'm not even like saying that because like I'm really not even a huge fan of them, even though like should not really say that. But, yeah,
that's all right. You don't like them.
No, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Certain songs, but and then you can go from that to like. The story so far, and it's just like honestly, like it really does fluctuate back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we kind of pride ourselves on that, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be linked as, you know, just one style.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's how you write a great album and then never write anything great again.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, no evolution.
What I thought was really interesting about your band is that you actually started off as a solo project. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So how do you get from
the
only
one who knows that? Actually, everyone.
I do my research.
Does. Yeah, clearly.
Plus, I think we've been Facebook
Thank
friends
you,
for years.
Yeah, for years.
Which is kind. I just want to throw that years. Out there. So this is actually our first time meeting. Is that crazy?
That is kind of crazy. I actually thought you had been to a show before, which I guess
I think
wrong.
I've tried to come to one of
you
your shows,
to
but
shows.
I just for whatever reason I can never go to shows
You're
anymore.
Just like, I don't want
to
see this shitty Long Island band.
So it's not a catfish situation, right?
No,
no.
Okay, all right.
He's actually
not.
Who he is.
Oh my God, yeah. This never happens.
And I'm
happens.
Real too.
That would be one serious catfish thing. Like,
that would
this
be.
Kid is like, yo, he seems like yo, he's in a band and like he has to like promote himself. Yet he's not even who he is. You know,
he never like sung a song in his life.
Exactly, that's like a Dead Mouse type of thing where like you just never see them.
Yeah.
Or like a Sia.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you actually search Sia, you could definitely find out what she looks like. But that's mm-hmm. like. Totally different story.
Same thing with Dead Mouse.
Yeah, that's
how. Or like maybe the Gorillaz, if it's a good.
No, they reveal themselves.
You know who
now.
Damon Albarn is.
Yeah, but at the time.
It's like Slipknot, except for the last like 3 years where they finally like showed their face.
Yeah, I guess we've realized that it's just like not a thing anymore. People just don't do that. which would be like, I mean, because everyone we've mentioned has all like revealed themselves at this point. Mm-hmm. Which,
but, yeah, so you started off as a solo project. Yeah. Were you always that stage name, Approaching Troy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I grew up with artists who, even if they were a solo project, they were always like under a name. Like Hayley Williams is not like, yeah, she has her own thing as Hayley Williams, mm-hmm. and like she's, but she's signed under Hayley Williams, not Paramore, but she goes under Paramore. I mean, that's a perfect example of that. Okay. I mean, you have Secondhand Serenade, mm-hmm. one person.
Beartooth is the same thing.
Beartooth is the same thing. There's a lot of artists that do it, and you just don't realize, actually.
But now, are we just going over who has, like, the rights to the band, or it's actually... Because, I mean, for instance, you know, I hate to keep freaking beating a dead horse, but with Breaking Benjamin, that...
We're just listening to them the whole way here.
He actually is the, you know, quote-unquote, owner of Breaking Benjamin, but obviously it was a band, you know?
Yeah.
So he has hired musicians. Yeah. Is that the same case with Approaching Troy, or no?
No, they all contribute at this point. It's definitely gone from a solo act to a full band, mm-hmm. but...
I think being a solo act, Approaching Troy, starting out as a solo act rather, Approaching Troy, say Jake, lead singer, really got to hone his craft as a songwriter and really set the stage for what would, you know, would become the band today. Mm-hmm. So I think those years were important, you know, but it totally has evolved into a full band project. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of the thing, though. It never meant to be my main project. Mm-hmm. It started out as like a side thing. Yeah, I was in something else at the time, which is like horrible. Let's like not talk about it. But anyway,
well, you mentioned it. So.
Yeah, you did bring it up.
No, putting you on the spot.
I did. Never intend on this being the full thing. This is just like, all right, I'm going to write songs and name it something that sounds kind of cool, that means something to me, and then go from there. And it just ended up being that the other band just didn't work out. And I was like, you know what? I guess I'll just continue to write songs, and people happen to just, I guess, you know, catch on with it and like it, I guess. So mm-hmm. it just kind of stuck.
Well, I think that's how a lot of bands start, is you have a guy that, you know, picks up a guitar and can sing a little bit, you know.
sing a little bit. No, but you're actually pretty correct on this.
What I'm trying to say is a lot of these people that are lead singers in bands, I wouldn't necessarily consider them singers. You know, when you see them live, you're like, oh, wow, they didn't sound a lot, you know, as good as they do on the record, because I think they started out as a guitar player and they're not really a singer. And they kind of just pick that up. You know, they write their own songs and do the vocals. And then it eventually ends up, you know, with them pursuing, you know, being in a band.
Right. I actually can agree with that. I mean, I always was a singer. I tried drums for like 30 minutes and it just like didn't work out for me.
Too physical?
No, I'm actually a very physical person. But...
Ayo.
Okay.
Bad jokes.
The joke,
nice one.
Torilava should be here all week, folks.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, no, it didn't work out. It just, I apparently was better at singing, so people were like, you need to stop doing drums and you need to sing instead.
Were you always a singer? Like, did you do choir and stuff when you were growing up as a kid?
No, I didn't.
So how did you pick up on it?
I guess I was just like very comfortable with my friends, and they were all like, and I was just so into music that I just felt like, all right, well, I need to, like, start doing something with music. And I would always just, like, sing in front of my friends just, like with my headphones in and whatever. And they're like, why don't you actually, like, try to do something with it? And that's kind of, like, I guess where it evolved into it. And
the rest is history.
Yeah, and the rest is me, thank God, not playing drums.
So did you feel – I kind of feel like certain people have more confidence with vocals. So, like, for me, I'm like, I feel like I'm a good singer, but I can't do it in front of people.
Are you, Dan?
I've
never heard you sing.
Prove it, Dan. Prove it.
No, I ain't doing it.
Do it.
I'm trying to explain it. So, for instance, me, it's hard for me to sing in front of people and kind of promote that, but certain people, like the singer in my last band, Too Far Lost, dude, it doesn't matter where he was or what he was singing, he would promote it like...
Yeah,
it was like the best thing. Just he would sing in front of anybody and wouldn't care, you know? I just feel like certain singers... that have that ability have like were born with the ability and the confidence to like push it, you know.
I wasn't though. I definitely wasn't. I was very nervous to start and you know, get on that stage the first couple times and, you know, just do what I was doing. I mean, I had no training, I had no prior experience. It was kind of just like, you know what, let's just do it. And I mean, it ended up like, you know what, if I could sing on the demos and I can do a decent job on the demos, I can do a decent job live. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I guess my head was. And I mean, you guys are really actually asking very good questions. I haven't thought about these things in a very long time. So
thank you, Tori.
Shout out, World Star Hip Hop.
What?
World Star.
But yeah, like I said, it was never the intention to be a singer. It was just kind of like I liked doing it, and like I always intended to be a songwriter, but never like thought that it would be like my main thing. Like I loved singing, but like a 13-year-old me would probably smack me in the face right now. But like, yeah, you definitely want
to
be a singer. But
there are three dimensions to it. You have, you know, which Jake is really. He's the performer. He's the songwriter. But he's also the entertainer, and you know he's not going to admit that, but he's got that on stage, that it quality that, you know, he's a great entertainer, and people like just he's got that charisma and that people are just glued to when he's on stage.
Why don't I bring you to every interview?
Seriously, holy shit! You have one fuck of a hype man here.
Oh yeah,
you said you're taking me to dinner afterwards.
Right? Oh yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
That's so
definitely.
Sweet.
Aww.
There's Chili's,
hey, Del Frisco's. Come on.
Thank you. You're making me blush.
So you have a new EP coming out, Best Intentions.
Yes.
August 19th.
Yes,
of this year.
We're so excited. Except for we found out that Bayside is releasing an EP the same day, and they're also
it's a full length vacancy. But
yeah, but they're also playing like PlayStation Theater, which is like not too far from here. So like, all right, well, great. You know, and we also just played with them at launch, which is like we didn't even know that they're releasing the same day. We literally just played with them like what, 4 days ago? Not even a full week.
Wow.
So.
And they're one of your influences, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely walking through those early high school years, those halls, listening to them, trying to sneak in and listen to one of their songs. I used to do that all the time. I used to like walk through the hallways and just like put my headphones in when no one's around.
Mm. You know. Favorite Bayside record?
Probably The Walking Wounded.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like their most popular, but to me, it's just like really. Captured me a lot. They really experimented a lot on that album, and I really liked it. Like, they're not horses, they're unicorns. It's like that riff is just my idol of riffs. Like, I wish I could write something like that.
Yeah, but even the title track,
yeah,
where it's like track. It's fast, dun dun dun, yeah, dun, yeah. Dun dun. You're like, what the?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like kind of circusy, and I really like that whole circusy kind of thing. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but like Rise Against on Entertainment, that's like an example of it, and like. Whatever it is, I love that circus feel, and they really did that on The Walking Wounded, so on that one song specifically.
Yeah.
It was cool. They really went all over the place on that album, but it's cool. It works
really
for
did.
Me.
And least. It's the first one without John Beats.
Yeah, that's a big deal, which no. I had just recently made that connection. I don't know if you guys know The Sleeping.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Diehard Sleeping fan.
I did not even realize that that's what... Heartbeats was about.
Yeah.
Like I didn't realize until like recently, and that's like really sad.
Mm-hmm. Now they're supposedly getting back together.
Oh man, you just made my day.
I think for a few shows, but since they are from around here, they're obviously gonna play around here.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna be a big deal. Maybe we can get on that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Come on, manager.
Lawrence with the plug.
Make that call tonight.
I'm sure they'll be playing like Irving Plaza or a place like that.
Oh yeah, I'm
city.
Sure. Yeah, that's they were no joke at the time.
Yeah. Even though Douglas's band Night Versus is doing really well.
Yeah, they are doing very well. I haven't really had a chance to catch up on it, but you know, I mean, I feel like the more I get involved in approaching Troy, the less I get involved in what's going on around me.
Shut it,
really
Dan.
Sad, which is like really. Do we hear that?
I don't know.
Yes.
Well, now we know.
Dude,
now
picks
we'll
up everything.
Yeah, these microphones are pretty sensitive.
They are. Yeah, I have the microphone just like it actually. Yeah.
Twins.
Actually the same one.
And you're actually opening up for one of my good friends in Danger Kids.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah, we are this Saturday.
Plug away.
Well, last Saturday.
Yes, 2 days ago. So how was that show? Did it go well?
It was good. I fell off the stage, so.
Ah, damn. Oh. Is there a YouTube video of it?
No, actually that has happened at Amityville Music Hall.
Fell off the stage and someone recorded
that happen?
It.
That happens because they don't secure down the speakers mm-hmm. in front of the stage, and I do a lot of like stepping on them, and I didn't know
as
that.
Do a lot of front men.
yeah, and it's like not like guilty. Uncommon. And I had stepped on it, and it just like went over, and I just went over with it. And
oh my God.
Shout out to like
don't
Shorebreak.
Tell the fans, I think it's part of the act.
No, it is a part of the act. Yeah. It's
now, did you miss a beat?
Maybe a beat, but then I ran back up on stage, and yeah, I fell off the stage like completely off.
Well, how far is the drop? I haven't been to this venue.
It's not that bad. I mean, I got saved by a few friends, which was cool. So
hopefully, it's not like the Radiant.
That venue.
Because it's pretty high up.
That's a big drop.
Yeah,
like that.
The Radiant is like a church basement, like a high school auditorium stage. Mm-hmm. So it's like what, five feet off the ground,
yeah,
five, 6 feet
tall. Yeah,
Yeah, you would have busted the speaker if that happened.
You would have busted his face if you would have fell.
The speaker fell right on my leg too. I thought my leg was gonna break as soon as I like landed.
Sue
like,
the venue.
How's it going?
Did it break?
Man. My leg, no.
No, I meant the speaker.
Fuck your leg. The speaker. That's what we need
to
know.
That was my next question, actually. Like, were you actually injured at all from falling off the stage? Or
I was definitely injured. I had a huge, like, bruise.
Really?
Like, huge on my leg. But, no, I think the speaker
That just
fine.
Makes you guys
Thank
more
God,
hardcore.
I
mean.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I said as soon as I got on stage. I was like, that's the most, like, punk rock thing I've ever done in my life. So they yelled it out too. I was hoping someone got a video. No one got it.
So they totally thought you did that on purpose and you didn't actually fall. Like, whoa, the guy totally stepped on the speaker and jumped off a stage.
No, there's no way you could confuse it.
Stage dive.
No, it was pretty bad. There were people filming and I had seen someone film. I saw like maybe like seen like three or four people filming, specifically in like the front row. And then like all of a sudden, like I saw someone, or I was told that as soon as like I walked to that side of the stage, like everyone went to the middle to try to get our drummer. Because most people can't get our drummer in that venue.
Yeah.
And like everyone who came up to us after the show, they're like, I had just missed it like right then and there. I was like, I wish we could have put that on our Instagram because it would have been awesome.
So I want to go over some stage horror stories. This is not for my band, but I went to see Green Day at Madison Square Garden. I think it was in 2008, somewhere around there.
Best time to see them.
Awesome. So they were they let people come up on stage. So, like some of them, one of them actually I think had to play the guitar, drums I think, and a vocalist. I'm not sure which one it was, but this dude literally got done doing part of a song. And stage dived, everyone moved. And he just went straight down. It was horrible. It was, oh my God.
And that just reminded me of like Jack Black from the School of Rock when he jumps and everyone gets out of the way.
Yeah, I've had opportunities to do it, and every time it like comes up, I'm just like, you know what?
It is scary. It's a trust thing.
Like, I mean, I trust our fans, but like, damn, like,
you don't trust them that much.
Yeah, not yet.
But if they're 15-year-old girls that weigh like 90 pounds, maybe not.
I wouldn't jump on them.
Yeah, exactly. That's bad news.
John, do you want to explain your microphone story?
Which one?
The head and microphone connecting.
So my band, which Dan used to be in, Too Far Lost, we opened for Alien Ant Farm and Head PE.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we decided to go a little crazy, and by we, I mean me. And I went complete G.G. Allen. I didn't take a shit in my hand or anything. I literally took the microphone, just started bashing my forehead in it when I started to actually bleed on stage.
That's healthy. Dude, what happened to you?
Smacked the microphone in my head a couple times.
That's like way more punk rock than I've ever been.
Exactly.
Well, I kind of do like that, like taking like some day throw around the mic type of thing, and like
pray to God no one gets hit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Luckily, I've only hit like instruments at this point, but usually I don't usually hit anybody. I know the right stages to do it on. You know, like obviously Amityville Music Hall is not the stage to do that.
You need to look this up on YouTube. It was either Howard Jones or Adam D of Killswitch Engage. Obviously it was Howard Jones because he's a freaking vocalist. He was swinging the microphone around and it literally smacked Adam D right in the face.
Oh my God.
And there's like, you see him talking, like, I think it was one of their like live DVDs. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, he's swinging around and literally smacked me right in the face. And you see someone put like that circle on the YouTube video and hone in on
his
face.
The little shadow thing.
Yeah, the shadow smacks him right in the face. It was hysterical.
These things are not light. They're pretty heavy, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're swinging them.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I don't swing it easy. Like in order to get the momentum to go like go around my neck or something, like or like up really high, like there's no way. Like,
it's not
going to
caress your face.
No, it's not good against your face.
No, the worst was Adam Lazarus smacking. I think it was Sean Cooper knocking him out.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I think Matt Rubano, but yeah.
Was it Matt Rubano at the time?
It was Matt Rubano, okay.
Whoever was playing bass.
Yeah. Well, who cares? No, I'm kidding.
Fuck him.
That's a little joke between us and our basses. I hope he listens to this. Well, he better listen to this one.
Yeah, what the fuck? You're the front man. You tell him how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
If anything, you have the manager to fire him.
Exactly.
Say it's the 1-2 punch as I'm wearing a boxing shirt.
No, he makes me do the dirty work. He makes me do the dirty work.
It's your band, I tell you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You're like jumping in. You're like,
I was actually going to say, did anyone else, I don't know why this band's name is drawing a blank in my mind, but did anyone else see that video of the girl on stage and then the band dropped?
The story so far.
It was
The story so far. Yeah.
Can we please discuss that? Because that just reminded me of everything. Does anyone else think that was completely messed up that he did that or no?
Of course.
yeah.
Like, I feel like, come on. You don't need to drop kick this poor little girl. She's like 15 years old.
I just met their manager this weekend, so really? I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean.
All right, that's fine.
He's a cool guy. I mean, it's, I don't know.
They're I just cool feel bad
and,
for
like,
her.
I like their label and stuff. So
but
like,
what is she doing up there?
She's taking a selfie.
That's clearly.
Yeah, that's the
yeah. Now, look.
Oh, come on.
There's definitely better ways to handle that situation.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, we discussed this with Daylight Down 2 episodes ago about this. In a world where Randy Blythe almost got the death penalty in the Czech Republic for guiding someone off the stage, like you go in full-fledged dropkick, it's a little much, but again, where's the security? You know.
I feel like you're not Bruce Lee. Like, why are you dropkicking people?
Yeah, I think it's a two-sided story. I mean,
I
think it's
sure
forbidden. Like, if you're on that stage and not on there for, you know, you're crowd surfing, it's almost like you need to get off as soon as possible.
Right,
you know,
it's like a 3-second window.
Yeah,
because if you jump on stage, you find a spot and you jump off.
Right. I mean, I would love to have people come up on stage and like hang
drop kick
us.
You.
Oh. Yeah, drop kick me. No,
that would be the coolest thing ever, man.
On stage, but I mean, I can see how it gets a little crowded. Like, we have had people on stage before, and it gets really crowded, especially a place like Amityville.
And performer, you know, on stage there's that adrenaline, there's all kinds of things going on, they're focused, that, you know, it's very hard when people are jumping on stage and you're trying to keep that focus and adrenaline going, so, you know, it may not have been in his right state of mind when that happened.
Yeah, and then the internet decided to go back and look at the story so far as lyrics, they're like, oh, they're very misogynistic, he did that because that was a girl. But they forget to realize
they forget to realize
6 months beforehand he did the same thing to a guy.
Yeah that's all right. What is with him drop kicking people though? Like, really? Like, I've never drop kicked even like a door. Like,
see, he drop kicks. Like, Action Bronson tackles.
Yeah.
Akon throws.
Off stages. It's cool.
I feel like if I drop kick, I'm gonna break an arm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drop kick like, oh,
but, like,
my arm, I can't play
video,
drums anymore.
Like, that's a powerful kick. That dude has real. You gotta look it up. Just because, like,
but. There was another angle where it was from the side of the stage. It didn't seem that hard. I'm not saying that he should have done it. It did not seem that hard. And even the girl came out and said it wasn't that hard.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't know that. So, I mean, if she comes out and says, like, oh, it wasn't that bad, then I guess, all right.
Yeah, and
still, just like the whole concept I thought was kind of hysterical. Yeah. But it was also
and now
sad
they're,
at
now
the same
they're banned
time.
From the venue.
Yeah, what's well.
That? They're banned from that Toronto venue.
Are they really? Yeah. No kidding.
Just like who's that's like up. When they see someone on stage or like whatever, like they're doing something that's like not really what you want them to do. Like, whose first thought is like, I need to drop kick them? Like, that would not be my first thought. I would be like, let me get security, or like, let me just be like, hey, can you get off the stage? Or like, maybe even like, I don't know, something like drop kicking is not my first thought.
No.
Like, I've seen shows before where like the artist would like try to wave down security. I don't know why I'm waving because this isn't a video thing right now. But hey, John. But I've seen artists where they're like waving down the security to get the fans off the stage, which, I mean, like, why wouldn't you think of doing that? Just
I don't
poor
know.
Girl.
I don't know.
That's that.
Like I said, it's not my first thought, so like, I wouldn't know how to like assess
any hoosies. Let's talk about your band. What else
okay,
you guys
exactly.
have coming up right now?
You guys did a tour. What was it, last year?
Well, in the past year, we did two.
Okay. I saw you went to, like, Vegas and all around the country.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was the Blacked Out and Ready Tour, which was fun.
That's a fun name, too.
Did you black out?
And were you ready?
No, we're known as, like, the grandpa band. Like, we've kind of become known as, like, we're not, like, that party band. Like, we do, like, but, like.
You guys are responsible.
Yeah. I mean,
good for you guys.
Like, I don't know. It's like kind of lame, but it's cool at the same time.
Let's
but
go
yeah.
to bed by 9:30.
No, definitely not 9:30.
Only one beer with dinner.
No, you know what it was?
Light beer.
You know what it was, actually? This is kind of our typical night on tour. This was during that tour. We pretty much would, like, get to our destination at, like, maybe 1, 2 in the morning, and then we would break out our laptop and watch old 90s cartoons and then, like, have a drink with it. It was, like, the weirdest
That's
thing.
Adorable. What's your favorite 90s cartoon?
Definitely Rocket Power.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Rocket Power on
definitely.
I don't want Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie. I like
Wookity.
Some weird, like...
Shoobie. Just caught on to that Shoobie.
They explained that, and I think I'm, like, 100% a Shoobie. Like,
do you wear socks with your sandals?
Oh, no. Is that what... I thought it was...
That's what it was, I thought.
No,
it was
shoes
on the beach.
Shoes on the beach.
Yeah,
oh, I thought it was socks with sandals.
No. I think most people here are shoebies in like our area.
Wait, wearing shoes on the beach? I don't do that. Because you
can
get sand in your shoes.
Yeah.
Like, flip-flops are all right, but actual like sneakers.
Did he like lift up his foot and it was flip flops? Like, I gotta recap. We gotta get a recap on this.
Yeah.
Next time I'm back, we'll talk.
Post on the podcast and on the links on Twitter and let us know.
Yeah. Send us links of Rocket Power. Go.
We are writers on a mission. Oh, man, that's what you guys should do is cover the theme song. That would be cool.
Like some Less Than Jake stuff right there.
Yeah.
Which is weird because that's weird.
People actually have popular YouTube videos of them covering certain theme songs.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
It is.
Definitely connects with your fans. I mean, if your fans are from the 90s, then it's going to connect with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, sadly, our fans are from, like, 2000. So
2010s.
They're tweeners.
2010s. They're just being born, so it's cool.
Teach them the ways, then. That's what you got to do. Teach them
your fans are six.
Oh, man.
No. We love you,
that gets us
Troy.
In trouble, man.
Wait, you're not doing anything with them. They just happen to come out to your shows.
With their parents.
Yes.
We've had that. We do have our fans come with their parents. It's cool, though. Like, we've had like, the coolest parents, man. Like, we've had someone come that, like, was from, I think, here, actually, New Jersey, and they came with their parents to Connecticut. They drove all the way to Connecticut just to see our show, and it was, like, really cool. They knew every word, and it was just, like, really, honestly awesome. So, shout out. You know who you are.
So, like, Five Finger Death Punch, they have the kids come up on stage and give the finger. You ever been to a show?
Do they do that?
Yeah, they had.
I know they have the kids come up. Wow. I don't remember the finger.
This one show, they had a line of kids, and they're just like giving the finger. Some of them were like, you know, their parents are in the crowd, like, oh my God.
But the parents are loving it.
Oh, exactly. Because it's Five Finger Death Punch. You wouldn't bring them to a.
Where did you actually hear Ivan Moody went to rehab?
Really?
He's in rehab now.
Oh, man.
That's Lawrence, how do you feel about us bringing kids on stage and giving the finger?
Yeah. It's good. It'll be good
press.
It'll be good press. It'll be good press, definitely.
So, anyways, you guys performed countless shows.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
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 Any ones that really, like, stick out to you?
Yeah, definitely. We had a show in, believe it or not, we were sitting there the whole time before the show, and we were like, what the hell are we going to do in Colorado? Like, what is going to happen here? And little did we know, it was, like, the coolest venue ever, and it was, like, we were on literally first, and the place was packed already, and we were like, I can't believe, like, because we were added to the show last minute. But, like, it was, like, a sold-out show pretty much, and, like, people were just awesome. They were moving around. Ohio was a good one. New York, we always have a good draw with that. And then Connecticut is really a good spot for us, too. Like, we do really well. And these shows just, like, the thing that really is the best thing about these shows and why it stands out to us is that the energy we give them, it comes back to us. And that's just, like, the coolest thing ever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, not like other states haven't been like that. Like, Michigan was cool, too, but it just definitely didn't make the top five. You know, like, those are the states that really...
Those are the memorable ones.
Yeah, memorable ones. Yeah, for sure.
You guys played The Space in Connecticut, correct?
Yeah, we play that a lot.
Hampton.
We love it there.
I just went there for the first time. I really like that venue. It's cool. It was a cool venue.
Yeah, it's like kind of like what you'd expect, like, for, like, a crappy venue that does really well. And mm-hmm. It's just like, it's not crappy by any means. From the outside, you're like, well, what is this place going to be? But then you get inside and it's just like classy and it's cool. And it's like,
it's laid back, but it's casual.
That's
and
what
like,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get big acts too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those acts that we, you know, we're seeing there, we're like, wow, I can't believe we're playing the same place that they did. You know, I can't even remember any off the top of my head.
And this was like last week. It's not like when they were beginning either.
No, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Max Bemis from Say Anything plays there a lot.
Yeah,
he
does. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's cool too. I haven't met him, but he seems cool.
No. I was about to say, we have a story here.
No, definitely not.
Did you meet any musicians? Like any famous ones?
Actually, I was just talking to the drummer of Breaking Benjamin, literally, over at Launch the other day.
The ex-drummer.
Chad,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really cool.
He actually did a clinic down the street. Architect Music.
Okay. I don't know if you passed it. I don't know which way you came, but...
I was kind of just making sure I was the right
one. That's true.
That's right. Yeah. There's actually some YouTube videos on my personal channel.
Okay.
That of him playing the songs, actually all of them.
That's really
and
cool.
And they actually have... I mean, not to plug my channel, but there's actually like 30,000 views on some of the videos. And I'm not... It's not definitely not because of my channel. It's definitely because of him as a drummer in the band.
No, he's really cool.
I'm surprised. I can still look at him and see people commenting on him to this day. I'm like, wow, he must be popular. But I think the thing that he does that I want to see other bands do, especially mine, is he's a drummer and he's promoting himself like he's the singer.
Yeah, well, he's
got
his own.
He's got his own, exactly. Yeah. You know, I do lessons. I promote this energy drink. I think bands need to be promoting the individual. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Promote yourself individually as a brand name.
You know what though? He has that, like, I've been sounding more and more like a hippie lately. He has that like energy that when you meet him, like, you could just tell he's just a genuine guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, I had gone up to him actually because he was at one of the seminars, and like that, like, we played at launch and we were able to fortunately sit in on all the seminars and everything. And he was like one of the panelists, which is like really cool. And he was like, just as soon as I met him, like, I had gone up to him after, not because of his experience or being a fan, but because he just genuinely came off as just like, you know what? He gives a damn and he's here because he's for the right reasons. And he just like, honestly, just seems like a happy person who's at peace with himself. Mm. I sound such like a hippie right now.
That's right. Now, his wife is actually really nice too.
I didn't meet her.
She was at the clinic too. And she would, I mean, you know, like any, what you would expect was promoting his stuff, but
right.
She was like, oh yeah, we come from here, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we loved it doing this. And she just was very open to talking, awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, for as attractive as she was, you know, a lot of times when you talk to a woman like that, they're kind of like shy. She was very open to communicating. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
Anyone else super awesome?
Any famous?
Super awesome famous?
Well, I mean, famous for like us, I guess. I met Anthony Ranieri at launch. He was
a good
unbelievably
guy.
Nice. Yeah. He actually asked us for the EP, so we like gave.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he was
take
really
all
cool.
of them.
Well, he knows that we're
pass them to everybody you know.
Yeah, exactly. I explained that we're also from Long Island, so it was like kind of like that connection that we had. John Nolan we played with.
Who's he from?
Taking Back Sunday.
Straight
Run.
Another influence with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. We met JD from Hawthorne Heights,
okay.
Which was cool.
Yeah, JT's awesome.
JT, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
It's all right.
Just blanked on his name for a second. We met, and Alex from All Time Low was really unbelievably nice, too. That was just, like, personal. I just happened to be, like, working at, like, the venue that day, and he just happened to be playing, which was, like, cool, but, you know. I mean, you meet these artists, you're in the same industry, you're in the same scene, you meet them eventually, you know? So.
Yeah, that happened with me a lot with Buddy from Senses Fail.
I want to meet him. He seems cool.
I've met him so many times. He's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a cool podcast he had, too. Did you hear that whole thing with him explaining
him coming out?
Yeah.
Well, that was over the summer, right?
Well, he came out as bi.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. I thought he was kind of like on the pod. Like, I didn't get
that. That was 30 words or less or something like that. I forgot.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and he just like pretty much like it was, I don't know, that's hard to do, come out, not even just like as like your sexuality, just like tell all. He literally told everything about Senses Fail, and you know,
yeah, it's crazy what that band turned into.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, now
yeah,
they're definitely very heavy now, you know, not what they were.
No.
Yeah.
Well, now they're like a hardcore band.
Oh yeah, definitely a hardcore band. So.
That still plays the old hits, and it's very awkward.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, remember this one? And then, like, the fans are like, well, we know your new stuff.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know? It's like a band nowadays that just plays soft songs, yet they play all their hits that are hard, you know, live. I just don't get it.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of going down that road of, I mean, showcasing our heavier stuff on this new album. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks, I don't know if you guys have seen the cover, it looks so light and, like,
actually,
fun and fluffy, but it's like...
Aw, what a cute little skull.
It's actually not a skull, that's actually, this is the first time I'm talking about it, actually.
Oh, please.
That's looks actually, like the mask from The Mask.
No, it's not. It's actually personally custom made. It's for our video that we're doing for our first single. It's custom made for that, and it... Yeah, so our
autobiography of man, anybody?
A lot of symbolism, right?
Oh, yeah, huge symbolism.
Yeah, explain it.
You're going to see it a lot on the new EP. And,
so it looks like it's in a desert. It's a lot of sand, but I see greenery in the background.
Greenery, and there's, if you look pretty close to like kind of like where the smoke is coming from, you'll see a city, which is kind of cool.
Is that supposed to symbolize Long Island?
No, it's not.
It does look like New York City, kind of.
Investigated. No, definitely not. I don't want
to. I honestly thought that was a mountain.
Is it? Does it? You have to like zoom in to see it. That picture doesn't really showcase it because it's like.
Hold on. Dan, all right. It's fucking on top of my computer.
I have a question for you guys.
Sure.
Actually, it's more for you. So, what is your whole writing process, especially with this new EP? Like, do you sit down and write everything out, and then you talk to your band members about it, or do you guys all sit together? Like, what goes through your mind? Are you one of those types of people that you'll take out your phone and you'll record like things that you want to write down, or are you a handwritten type of person?
Yes, to all.
Okay. Well, can you elaborate?
Yeah. There's not one specific way that we write. It pretty much, I guess, to give you like the short answer of it, unless you want the long answer of it. There's definitely
we got time, so.
Yes, there's no limit to this podcast. Okay. Go.
There's definitely times where I've like woken up from like sleep or been like walking somewhere and like this melody had popped in my head and I'm like, all right, if I remember it, then it's clearly something I want to write. And there's definitely been examples of it, and you can, I can't name a song yet because it's not even close to coming out. But yeah, there's definitely songs that have been like that. But then there's times where I'll sit down and I'll specifically be like, you know what, I want to write a song today, or I'm feeling inspired, let me write a song today. And I guess the real process is that I'll write pretty much a shell of a song and I'll add my own little details and everything, but I'm not a drummer. I'm not a guitarist. You know, I mean, I'm definitely not a bassist. That's like my worst instrument. For whatever reason, it's like the easiest instrument, but
it is fairly simple. Yes,
it is. It's just like, for some reason, like I just don't get like the grooves that they do. It just like doesn't register with me as much as like the like melodies of a guitar or like the beats of a drum. But yeah, so like, that's not my instrument. Like, I'm a vocalist, I'm a melody writer, I'm a songwriter. So pretty much like I'll write the shell of it and then they'll really advance the hell out of it and they'll make it their own and turn it into their own parts. And it really becomes like a cool collaboration process.
And that's happened a lot more for this new EP coming out in August, right? Since the last EP, that evolution of the band really collaborating more or contributing more to the sound of the new album.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. So you actually write some of the guitar parts? Just
yeah.
Or you mean like a shell as far as the melody, like vocal melody and lyrics?
Well, as far as like the vocal melody and the lyrics go, I find that the best melody comes from the interaction. I mean, this is stupid. Like, you're going to be like, well, obviously, but like the interaction of the notes with the melody itself. Like, I mean, anyone can like sing a few notes and be like, oh, that's a good melody. But like you could sing the same notes and then write like completely different chords and it could be the catchiest thing and mine's just horrible. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, as far as that goes, like, it's just really more the chord structure I write and then they kind of advance it, put like, you know, guitar melodies or like add another note to it or something, you know, and they'll like give like a different rhythmic value to it, you know, add their own style is really kind of what I'm getting to.
Yeah. I mean, not to get like technical. I mean, for me starting to take guitar lessons, you can play what they refer to as a mode, and have the guitar player play the key chords in a different key,
right?
And it changes almost the complete sound. Yet the person's playing the same, you know, mode.
It's
really
it
cool.
It changes everything.
So it wasn't stupid. It was actually really advanced. You know, for people that just like music, they wouldn't know. Right. Like, oh, what do you mean? You could do the same notes of the same scale and change it up to make it sound different. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Well. 5 years of music theory, so
lovely,
came in handy.
So, for growing up, because you said that you know you used to just kind of sing in your iPod and everything, other than I guess music, what did you do as a kid? Like, were you ever on the soccer team? Were you the kid that played basketball?
How much did you like research me?
I honestly
too much.
Didn't.
And basketball.
No. Well, okay, that's just kind of weird. I honestly, those were my first instincts, I could read people, but that's
clearly
a different story. No, I didn't really research you guys at all. I just kind of like already knew much about your music. I just didn't know you as a person. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I was big into soccer.
Position did you play?
I was mainly like a midfield slash forward. I mean, it's just like I was fast. That was pretty much it, and that's what people liked. I was very fast. It just, like, runs in my genes to be fast, and, like, no pun intended. And,
what's up with all the puns tonight?
I don't know. That was, like, the worst pun, but it, like, actually made so much sense. It was, like, ridiculous. But, yeah, I was just fast, I guess, and that's what people liked about me. And that's what they wanted, a midfielder. You just need someone who's fast who can just get there in time and, you know, finish the job, so.
Yeah. So you play basketball, too?
I was horrible at basketball, but I played. Yeah, I just
did you play in high school? Or was kind of like a middle school type?
No,
it
was like a middle school, elementary school.
Like direct
thing,
leads?
Yeah, exactly. Or soccer was more of like I actually, me and my brother were on the same team. We actually were on a team for the U.S. We represented them in Italy, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Are you Italian?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
What
yeah,
part so. Of Italy?
Well, I'm Sicilian, so okay. I don't know if you hate me, but
no, I'm Calabrian. Calabrian, I think they're called. I don't know.
I actually don't even know what that is.
It's like really small city in Italy.
Gotcha.
At least I'm pretty sure.
Me and John are clueless.
Yep. I don't have a drop of Italian blood in me.
Really? Yeah. What are you guys?
I'm Irish, German, Polish.
I was about to say, you're definitely German. I can see you being German.
Oh. And my last name's O'Connor, so that kind of gives that away.
No, but like just looking at it, I forgot about your last name.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Dan, what are you?
Chinese.
Tao. I see it.
I'm actually the same as John, except I'm German, Irish, and Italian.
Oh, so you are Italian.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Don't
like
ask.
How much Italian?
Don't ask. People like 2%. Are like, pretty much, basically, a couple years ago, I didn't have any clue. Like,
that you were
with my nationality. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what are you?
Something.
And people were surprised. I'm like, I don't really care, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously now I have to know, but.
Oh, no. If you're Italian and you're like a big Italian.
And you don't
like,
know.
Yeah. Like,
hey, you know. You tell people, hey.
Yeah, you know, there's no way of not knowing. Like, my grandfather would sit us down and he'd be like, literally every time that we would have like a family gathering or something, he would sit us down and like, obviously the accents like didn't give it away, but. He would like sit us down and bring like he would like personally bring a map and he'd be like, you see this? This is where with his Italian accent. This is where you're from.
This is where you're from.
Yeah, exactly. And like, he's like, you see that boot? You're the soccer ball getting kicked on the bottom. And I'm like, well, that's nice, Grandpa. Thank you.
Did you call your grandpa Nono?
No, my grandmother was Nona though.
Yeah.
That's well, why. The thing was, is her mom was Nona. So, I mean, she didn't really go by it because. Like, we were pretty much alive when her mom was alive. So it was, like, kind of that weird shift. So, yeah.
Italians are just so proud.
Yeah, they're so proud.
We have a lot of pride.
Yeah, like, I tell my mom all the time because I'm, like, also part Spanish. So she'll be like, I'll be like, Mom, I'm, like, really Spanish. And she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, ask Dad. I'm definitely Spanish. I'm 100% Spanish. She's like, no, you're not. She'll get really mad at me. And like,
so your dad is Spanish?
My dad is Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got, like, German in him. He's, like, all over, too, so.
But you're Italian.
Yeah, I'm Italian. That's what my mom would want me to say. Now I can show her this.
Shout out to all the moms listening right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, are you also a Yankee fan? Because apparently Italians and Yankee fans are, like, one and the same for
I'm not
really
a baseball fan. That's a thing. Like, I mean, I liked it when I was younger, but, like, it never really, like, appealed to me that much, you know. As I get older, like, I just, like, find myself drifting away from sports as much.
I was about to ask, do you watch any sports or anything or nah?
I watched the World Cup, obviously. Like, that's, like, the most exciting time of, like, the whole four-year thing. I love it. I can't get enough of the World Cup. And then I like when hockeys go into the Stanley Cup, which is cool. Mm. So I'm a big hockey fan, too. I played it for, like, half a year.
Oh, which team?
Just any team that's, like, New York, I guess.
So Islanders or Rangers?
That's sacrilegious.
It's yeah.
You gotta pick one. Islanders or Rangers.
I'm pretty mad at the Islanders now that they moved out of, you know.
But can you blame them?
What?
Can you blame them? Nassau's
no,
a fucking dump.
They've actually been doing like better, I think.
Yeah.
From my
they actually made the playoffs.
Yeah. So
weren't they making the playoffs last year?
Maybe last year, but there was like a severe drought for quite a while.
No, there was, but I think last year they were really good.
Yeah, I think they were too. Yeah. I don't think they made the playoffs though, but
no, really.
Maybe I don't know.
But they had a young squad.
Yeah, well, that's good though. A young squad that makes
yes.
the playoffs or comes
yeah,
close.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, pretty much like I don't watch it until the playoffs, and then when the playoffs happen, I watch it. So it's like I don't really know.
Do you watch MLS?
Not so much anymore.
Me and John are huge Red Bulls fans.
Red Bull fans.
Yes.
Yeah, like crazy.
I've gone to a couple of their games. It's fun, you know, it's like fun, you got nothing else to do, and you just like, you know what, I want to go to Red Bulls game in like 3 months.
We have season tickets.
Yeah. All
right. So you're really like, oh, I have nothing else to do on a Saturday night, let me just go see a Red Bull game.
But that's the best part. It's like maybe 3 games a month.
Right.
If that?
Yeah.
No, but the good thing is it basically feels like it's going all year long. You have I mean,
it's from literally March to October, November.
Well, for us, we're kind of, I guess, spoiled that they go to the playoffs.
Right.
So basically, last year.
And never win, but we won't go there.
Close to
You'll
it.
Get lucky
but
one year.
No, they go, like, they literally played into December, had off, you know, the end of December or half of December, January, February, and then they start in March.
Yeah, it's crazy. From like Christmas to Valentine's Day, and then there's the preseason, and then they do everything all over again. And they only make like $35,000, $40,000 a year. Like the worst player.
Yeah, but
that's actually not bad.
Yeah, like, but I'm pretty sure with their, you know.
Matt Miazga only made $80,000, and now he plays for Chelsea and gets like millions.
Yeah, I was going to say, you go to like the English Premier League and it's like a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I kind of followed was more the English Premier League.
Yeah.
What's like your team
Man
there?
United represent.
Man U?
Yeah. I gotta be, you know, Big Red's. Well, Big Red makes them sound like gum, but
yeah, well, that's what they're called.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Big Red's, just the Mighty Red's, I think. You think I'd know this. I really did follow
them for a long time.
No, I did. I was a huge fan. I had all their jerseys. Fraud. I had their fraud. Jerseys. I had
name one player besides Wayne Rooney.
Jerseys. Go. Oh, Wayne Rooney. Okay. Well, Cristiano was not, Ronaldo was on it for a long time.
Oh, that was like 12 years ago.
Time. Yeah, I mean, but like I said, I kind of fell off of it a little bit.
And Paul O'Neill was a Yankee, too, so.
Yeah, and the Brooklyn Dodgers were a Mickey thing Mantle. So. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, kind of fell off of it, but I was like literally their biggest fan for a long time. I had tickets to go see them when they came here. They do like the US tour or whatever. So, you know, but really fell off of that for it. Kind of like music moved in and like soccer kind of moved out. So
it's usually what happens.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like did like a whole breakup ceremony too. It was like pretty legit.
You did a breakup ceremony?
Pretty much. I mean, like,
did you go up to like your Wayne Rooney poster? Listen, we had some great times. It's not you, it's me. I swear to you.
I just have different interests. Like growing up, I'm being a
classic breakup conversation.
Yeah. So it kind of drifted out for me.
So I'm gonna get into the plugs.
Okay.
Now, I usually try to do this at least every episode. Is there any? I mean, you're a vocalist, so there might not be a lot of them, but maybe that your band uses any, you know, brand name or any, you know, instrument, anything that you guys are using that you want to plug and promote. It could be anything from MacBook Pros to Axis drum pedals. It's, man, you know, whatever you want.
You got to bring up the MacBook Pro right now.
We're standing right in front of
I know. Sitting. We were using it, and we used mine for all the songwriting, all like the live backing tracks and everything. And I had lifted it up, and it was still connected to the charger, and it just ripped off my hand, and now I don't have my MacBook anymore. So. But yeah, plug them, because I can write on it. And it's
Apple, give them a new Mac. Let's go.
I like pretty much stole our bassist, Dom's. I like pretty much have his all the time now. So so I'd say MacBook is cool. I like Shure. Shure's, I always use, I've used, what are they called?
SM57s?
Yeah, no, but I used EV for a long time, and I find that Shure, I have like more of a higher resonant voice, so I try to go for Shure because they kind of bring that out more than, you know,
EV pick up does. The mids and the highs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely. Even though I did like my EV mic a lot.
John, you have any instrument plugs or brand plugs you'd like to use? Tori, anybody?
Yeah, I got a brand plug. I was actually just recently sponsored by Be The Difference Clothing Company. Use the code LAVA, LAVA, and get 10% off your first purchase.
Whoa,
and
look at that.
Be The Difference is all about, you know, being different and motivating people and encouraging people and be the change, because this world is so screwed up and we need some more positivity. So shout out to them. Just got a couple of t-shirts. Use the plug, 10% off. It's for a good cause too. So
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Now, do you have your own shirt? Getting that soon?
My own shirt? No, they just sent me like two shirts, but I should have my own shirt. I should have a shirt.
Oh, that's bullshit. You just gave them a great plug for two lousy shirts. Yeah. Come on, be the difference.
They're cool.
Be the difference. Let's go.
They're pretty cool. So make sure you follow them and all those other shenanigans.
Did you find it?
Shout out Loyal Hearts. They're from Massachusetts. Oh. Really cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned them yet.
No, definitely not.
What are they all about?
They're all about like the unison or unity between like straight edge and not, and it's like kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people who are straight edge try to like maybe like they feel like they can't associate too much with people who aren't because they, you know, the whole social drinking and whatever. But like, I mean, none of us do drugs, so like that's good. But I mean, like it's a good thing, like because most people, like I said, feel like they can't associate or relate, and it's a good way, like it's a good thing to try to you know unite them both, which is cool.
That's awesome.
I'm all for it.
Awesome.
I'd like to promote Cold Cocked Whiskey. It's hard to say for some reason. As you can tell, they have whiskey, and they sponsor my band Dead Tide, so I'm gonna plug them.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
And special plug to podcasttexts.com, who sponsor this podcast.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yes.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out. Thank you.
Yep, even though they're getting a nice long message before this episode, but doesn't matter. Plug them away. They're awesome. Yes. They take your podcasts and they put them in text form.
That's cool.
Really?
Now, the weird part about this was we did it with the one last week when we were talking about gay porn, and they had one person transcribe everything, and I was like reading it, I'm like laughing like a like a fucking teenager.
He told me that he was having it transcribed, and that just immediately popped in my head what this guy's thinking when he got to the gay porn conversation.
Five hours and 43 pages of our transcriptions, and I'd say about maybe six pages of it was about gay porn.
Did you say 5 hours?
5 hours, yes.
You guys podcasted for 5 hours?
No. They transcribed it for 5 hours.
It took them 5 hours. Okay. I was like, geez.
Although the one interview we did with Justin was like three, right?
Yeah, about two and a half hours of podcasting.
Of gay
porn talk. No.
Everything but. That was the odd part.
Oh, really?
Like, he was talking about like squirrels in his attic and like ladybugs. Like, he went all over the place. But gay porn did not pop up.
That's good. No, that's actually good. The first time it's popped up in our podcast.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Maybe it's the second time this one.
Yes, it's going to be like a continued subject.
Probably. And then John's going to get sick of me talking about it and tell me to shut up. That's
well, I'm already sick of you talking about your handle.
Rock drummer, RCKDRUMM3R.
All you need is an X beforehand and an X afterhand, and it seems like an AIM screen name from like the 2000s.
Oh, yeah,
XX.
It really does.
X arc drummer, X.
Yeah, Rick. Does. People say funny. That Rick. They're like Rick Drummer.
You know, I like going Irk Drummer.
I miss AIM screen names. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Miss instant messaging. Me Mine was Cheering Baby One. I was in fifth grade.
Well, okay, how was that spelled?
C H R B A B I 1. Just like the number one. And people thought it was Crying Baby One. So that was really uncomfortable.
You didn't start off with the XX? Yes.
No, I didn't do an XX. I probably did have a screen name that was like XX something. Like,
I thank God did not have one of those.
What was yours, Jake?
That's something for another podcast. I was a child.
Yes, and?
No, it was mainly focused around soccer. And then
soccer
I thought it was
fan
cool.
One.
No, it was soccer. It was so stupid. Oh my god! It made it so was yes. Like
bring it out.
I love made balls.
It was like soccer slammer 186, which is I still held the 186. That's like on my like not my current one, but like because now I'm like my email's associated to the band.
Uh-huh.
But like that's like my own like personal one that I like still keep anyway. Like it still has the 186. So if anyone is wondering where that came from, that's where it came from.
There we go.
Is that also your MySpace name?
Yeah, it's our MySpace name. Also, you can check me out. 186.
What happened to MySpace?
They, you know, what's funny. Like about a year or two ago, they had a huge commercial for it. Like Chance the Rapper was in it. Yeah. Riff Raff was in it.
Didn't Justin Timberlake own it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he bought it, but he might have been a part of it.
No,
and
yeah, he did. He
they were
it.
Trying to make all MySpace just about music, and then I don't know what happened to that. But
that's going
to
be a hard battle. But you know, they're still like number four on like the top sites, right?
Oh,
are they really?
Yeah, they still are.
People still go on MySpace?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
I mean, all right,
real quick,
like
I'm going on MySpace. Let me see what pops
music
up.
Bands, you
does,
know,
does everyone remember
Tom?
Actually,
Tom.
I have another
shout out. The one friend
everyone
was friends with?
Yeah. Are you shouting out Tom?
No, I'm not shouting out Tom, but I'm actually shouting out my friend Shane Morris because he used to work for MySpace. He was on MySpace before Tom was even relevant.
Why does that name sound familiar?
He used to tour manage Panic at the Disco. He's like one of my homies, so
okay,
yeah.
Well, I definitely don't know him, but if you want to introduce me.
It actually looks pretty good.
It does look good. It actually
Lemonade,
looks like
Beyonce,
good.
We see
have,
you.
They just have a quite a... Oh, that's so cool. I know them.
I wonder if I still have a MySpace profile.
Her. They're really cool.
John, actually. Try to search us. See
they're
if we
like,
have MySpace profiles.
Yeah,
MySpace
search profiles. It.
Someone's trying to catfish us by using our thing?
Could you imagine someone took over our profiles and like...
What, like hacking into it?
Yeah, we're like talking.
Release them like into like, the public to see.
Oh, God, I hope not, man. I got to delete it then.
That'd be
bad.
Hysterical. I'm like someone from Indonesia.
it's always the scammers are from like the Western part of the world.
Yeah.
Like you have the African kings asking for money.
I love that. I love getting the emails saying, I am in $2,000, like, no, $2 million in debt. Please help me. And
I've never received one. I'm kind of pissed.
Your dead family member in India has $2 million for you.
I've sent them money. I felt good about it later.
Yeah. Did like, you really, or is that a joke? Okay, good. Because I know someone that actually sent the money.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
No.
Yeah, I'm seriously? Dead serious.
What happened?
Well,
I mean, nothing, but...
Well, it was my uncle, his nephew, so I'm not related to him, but I heard that he got an email and he sent money, so I don't really know the full thing, but I just remember hearing that and thinking, like, why? Why would you do that? Why
That's
would you do that?
Decision.
That's a horrible, horrible idea.
Dude, working for online banking, you would... I work for a bank, and you wouldn't believe how many people get pop-ups and literally they click on it and someone remotes into their computer and they log into their account and then they come to the bank saying, I clicked on this, popped up, they remoted in and sent money to some random. And we're like, people actually do this. Like, people actually click on it, speak to someone, put in their information, send money. What? Yeah.
Really?
It's crazy.
That's sad.
And it's been happening a lot more recently.
Maybe they look so, maybe it looks like so real that you just like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're listening right now and you do this, please don't do that because that's not nice.
You should never click on pop-ups because they just wreak havoc on your computer.
Yeah, I was saying, like, don't rip people off. But if don't click on pop-ups.
Unless it says behind the barricade, then definitely click on it.
Yeah, click on it.
Click and give us money.
All your money. Yes. All of it.
If you need someone to chat with, if you're lonely, just chat with Approaching Troy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can we chat with you guys?
Well, you could go on. You go on their Facebook, facebook.com/approachingtroy.
Yeah, you can always comment there. It's fun. Twitter's probably a better place so you could actually like chat with us.
At Approaching Troy.
It's always us. We're always the one answering. So mainly
it's not Lawrence?
No, it's not Lawrence.
Wait a second.
He's raising the eyebrow.
maybe sometimes. But
yeah, maybe I could get you backstage.
Yeah, to our fans who are still in diapers, that's really good. Yes. Thank you.
Those 6 year olds.
No, he didn't mean it like that.
No, I know.
Oh, are you guys on Instagram, Snapchat?
Yeah,
what else?
Yeah. If you just like Rumble. Literally just search Approaching Troy, you'll just find us like in whatever like social media thing. It's literally just Approaching Troy. We don't have Approaching Troy band. We're not Approaching Troy Long Island. We're just Approaching Troy, which is good. So,
what's your personal account?
I am J8K of Troy.
Of Troy. Okay.
Yeah, it's like kind of not clever, but it's cool anyway.
It's not what. What's the number
clever,
8K?
So J
862 or something. That was your number before.
186.
No, I dropped it. I dropped it for the band account.
Kidding.
Yeah, it's a Jatka of Troy. That's pretty much what it really is. But I thought it was kind of clever.
Oh god.
Awesome.
All right.
Sauce.
Embarrassing.
Miss Lava, any plugs?
What's up? Well, I did my plugs. Well, I mean, so shout out to Be the Difference, but also follow me on Snapchat. It's Young Lava. YUNGLAVA. Just had to double check on how to spell that.
You could have put the O in there.
No, I didn't because I want to be a rapper. I'm totally kidding. Check out my mixtape. It's Fire Fam. I'm totally kidding. I'm not a rapper. I'm
Flow like lava.
Stand-up comedian. Yeah. Flow with Lava coming soon to a theater near you. Probably not. Just kidding, but it will be on the podcast soon.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. So Instagram modeling right now. Jokes for days.
That's cool.
That was a joke.
Cool.
Thanks.
You know it.
If you want to send me a free shirt, I will wear it and I will plug you guys. Seriously.
Oh,
I think I've actually watched one of your live streams like years ago where you guys were like, who wants a free shirt? And I was definitely in the chat saying, I want a free shirt. I love free shirts.
That's and cool. You, we're actually you doing never one of those gave
right
her
now.
One.
Promo right now?
Yeah,
what is it?
Promo right now. If you go to our Facebook, you can, it's actually, there's like a big post about like how you can win backstage passes to our EP release show for Best Intentions in August. You get to hang out with us in the green room, which is cool. You get a free shirt for the new design that we're making on it. Awesome. You get a signed EP of Best Intentions. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something else.
And a bracelet.
And a bracelet.
I have it up right now.
And you get two tickets to our show. Yep. So.
And you're wearing a bracelet right now?
I am. I'm actually wearing it for a fan. They asked me to wear it. So I'm holding it for them. And then they said, whenever we see them next, I'll just got to give it to them.
Nice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That is sweet.
Everyone always asks me, like, yo, why do you wear your own band's stuff?
I think it's, you're
like,
allowed to do that.
Are you, though? Like,
yeah.
It's kinda, like, if I wore our own shirt on stage and be like, hey, buy this, like, that's, like, kind of lame.
Well, yeah, if you're saying, yo, buy the shirt. But, like, if you're just wearing it just because you're wearing it, like, I don't think it's lame.
Honestly,
lame.
Who's going to know, too? Like, I feel like if you're at the gym wearing your band's t-shirt, no one's going to be like,
I have
yo,
done
he's
that.
Wearing his own
I've
band, like, you know?
I've done that, actually. I'm not going to lie.
No, that can't be the person wearing his own band shirt. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's a way
yo, man, are you in Disturbed? Really?
Dan, plug, go.
All right, so I actually want to plug Architect Music. It's a music venue, or was. It's actually a recording studio and a lesson
place,
I guess.
I don't know. Where you're going with that.
Music instruction place that you can actually get lessons. It's in Butler, New Jersey. They've actually worked with bands like Seven Dust. Another plug, Candlelight Red. It's a local band. They've actually broke up and they're back together and they're going to be putting out new music. They're
cool.
One of their latest
come
albums.
On the show.
Reclamation was awesome. Yes, if you want to be on the podcast, definitely come on. Love to have them. And American One Productions. It's a rehearsal studio in West Patterson.
Woodland Park.
Well, Woodland Park, West Patterson, same thing. New Jersey, and the owner Troy is very cool and
right off of Route 46.
One of the coolest, you know, guys I've ever met. He's very down to earth, and you know,
is his podcast up?
I'm not sure, but I think it might be more of a place that you can actually go and hold your podcasts.
There you go.
So you can rehearse there. You can actually take lessons there. He has a sick drum room. Definitely check it out. It's AmericanOneProductions.com. If you Google it, it'll come right up. So
well, he definitely has a cool name. So that's, you know, as much as I would say. A1. Definitely a cool
A1 name. Studios.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, approaching Troy. He's very easy to approach, I have to say.
Oh, okay.
But that's all the plugs for me.
I would like to plug Night Roads Entertainment, actually.
What was that?
Night Roads Entertainment. That's our entertainment company. That's our management company. So
nice.
Where Lawrence is from. He owns it, so.
Awesome. All right, Lawrence.
Nice. Yeah.
If you want to email him, his personal email is
his address, phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
His social security number.
Exactly. Yeah.
Please ask your parents first before contacting
me. Yeah, exactly.
I got one more plug, actually. I'm taking the semester off in the fall, so if anyone's listening and needs a merch girl or a tour manager, hit up the Facebook page and everything. Yeah. Wait, are you guys actually going on tour in the fall? Is that something?
Did we just hook something up, John?
We do a lot of weekend warriors.
Okay.
That's what we've been doing this whole year. Like, we haven't played this. Like, we're playing New York, like our hometown, for the first time since December. So we do a lot of weekend warriors.
Cool.
So.
If you guys ever need extra help, like, I'm around. So I we'll actually really. Yeah, exactly. I don't mind traveling, doing all those shenanigans. It's
that's
fun,
awesome.
You could do a road interview for us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. You could do, like, an update video thing.
ETB on the road, that'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Flowing lava.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll actually be behind the barricades, so it'd be cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Except for we're not cool enough to have barricades yet, so. We'll put them up.
Absolutely.
John, what you got?
You could follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/behindthebarricade. Twitter is @behindthecade, CADE. Instagram, instagram.com/behindthebarricade. We have a whole bunch of surprises coming up. I don't know when, but we have a website coming up.
Nice.
I know. I'm pretty stoked about that, too.
We are now officially on iTunes and in order.
You're goddamn right.
It's about time. That's
we
awesome.
Are. I don't know.
I forgot all about that. But yes, we are in order on iTunes. And this episode will be up on iTunes on Monday.
Yay.
That's awesome.
I know. About time that works. Cool. So you could also go to behindthebarricadepodcast.podbean.com.
Podbean.
That's the place where we upload our episodes. That goes to iTunes and a whole bunch of other places.
I was actually going to ask about that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. We're also on Stitcher. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, we're here. Hello. Hit that subscribe button. Give us 5 stars or 4 stars or 1 star. Be a dick. But whatever works.
Don't be a dick.
Half star, no stars.
But I actually have a question for you.
Yes.
Ooh, when?
Are those influences that you had written down, are those that you had found online, or is that like just something you assumed?
Both.
What is he looking at?
I have influences. Well, you guys were influenced by Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah, you can definitely hear that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear that in the influences.
But it was also on your Facebook page.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
What about, like, Dream Theater? Is that there,
too? That was on your Facebook page,
I don't know who wrote that.
No, I think it was mostly, like, Long Island bands.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
One of those funny that came into mind when you were talking about that circus theme.
Oh, really?
Because they do like these weird interludes in their songs where they go into, and I just that just kicked them. Like they do weird stuff like that in their songs.
Well, I'm definitely a fan. I just never really thought about like it being
that being an influence.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard. Like they get hard in certain songs, so you can take anything from songs and say you're influenced.
But I mean, you do sound like Taking Back Sunday, Bayside.
Yeah,
you got a little early November in there, and a lot like Acceptance. I don't know if you ever heard of Acceptance. You sound almost exactly like Acceptance, and
that's
a good thing.
Bad
yeah.
For business.
Well,
but you guys are cool. Don't worry.
Thank you. We actually have we worked with this kid named Max. Well, I shouldn't call him a kid. He's a guy.
He's a 40-year-old guy.
I love how you like
this
say that. You're like,
old, like
no, he's younger than me. So I mean, I guess to me, he's a kid. He's his name is Max Klein. He was he works for 37 Studios. Actually, I'll give them a plug. 37 Studios in Michigan. That's where we record Best Intentions. And,
oh, wow.
We had just heard a teaser of it, of all the songs on the way here, and it sounds incredible. And he definitely brought a lot to the table, production value, and, you know, he produced it. So he didn't just, like, record it. He actually put his ideas in, and there's a lot. It's very modern compared to what our last EP sounded like, which we love our last EP. Like, it's kind of like my baby. Like that song Dear Sadie, the title track, is literally like my favorite song I've ever written. maybe not. I don't know anymore. But but it's you know, I mean, it's definitely it's a departure from the old stuff, but it's a feel like that.
It's an evolution to the new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You'll know it's us. It's not like it's like, wow, well, they totally went just like EDM.
Now they sound like Dream Theater.
Right, exactly. No, it's a natural evolution of what it should be, I think. Mm-hmm. And it showcases a lot of our heavier influences, which is cool because like that's the fun stuff live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's the stuff where like people just like run around and like do things.
I want to see you move, yeah. Move.
Yeah, no, I don't scream. Jay's our vocalist in that area, but so yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
All right, Jay Cazalazar.
Yes.
From Approaching Troy. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Later.
Drop mic.